4 o'clock here in the city of Kingston, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM. And I am not Sherry, nor am I Terry. I'm Jesse, and I'm filling in for your favorite duo here on this Thursday edition of 30 Years of Nonsense. Reason being, both Sherry and Terry are out of the province. I believe they're headed to Saskatchewan to be with family for a very exciting birth. I imagine all births are very exciting, but this one in particular, welcoming a new family member into the fold. Very exciting, very lovely. So I'm hoping we will get more stuff from Sherry and Terry sent in real soon. But for the time being, I'm going to cover for them today because I love this show and I love the conceit, you know, talking about the music that has influenced them, touched their lives over their 30 years together. Well, I don't have 30 years of marriage. I do have 32 years of nonsense in my own right, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to, I don't know, talk about some of the tracks from throughout my life that I just feel that connection with, because music really is this incredibly powerful force that does connect us, unite us, but also, you know, kind of tether us to these very specific moments in history. And the first track I'm going to play for you, it's a classic. It's one that I'm sure every single person knows, and I don't think I need to really wax poetic about what makes this song so great, but I will tell you my memory connected to it, because it is the iconic, the timeless, the untouchable. It's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald from Gordon Lightfoot, and this is one of the first songs I just remember hearing, period, and I think it was the first song I really truly became, like, obsessed with as a child. And of the many great qualities in the song, it is that haunting guitar riff, but also, I don't know, I just found the lyrics to be so captivating. And I remember the first time I heard The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and it was in kind of a nautical setting. We were coming back from a family friend's cottage on Lake Ontario. I'll be honest, I don't remember exactly where. I think I was like 3 or 4 years old. But the haunting guitar and the kind of gray overcast conditions and the proximity to a massive body of water, yeah, it just created this, if you'll pardon the pun, perfect storm. So let's kick things off with The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. We don't have, look, it's not going to be super obvious needle drops from me all episode long, but I just felt I had to start with this one if we're going on this kind of chronological theme.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wind broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. We'll be right back.
time came, the old cook came on deck saying, fellas, it's too rough to feed you. At 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know you. The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. And all that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
Welcome back, and just to clarify, you are tuned in to 30 Years of Nonsense, but I am filling in for Sherry and Terry. This is Jesse Bell with you here, as Sherry and Terry are out of the province, but hopefully will be back with us soon, and hopefully had a very safe, fun, and uneventful flight down to Saskatchewan. That was the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Look, if you're a Canadian, that's basically, I would say, probably the second national anthem. It's an all-time classic, and I'm really trying to embody the core ideal of 30 Years of Nonsense outside of the gentle, lighthearted bickering of our two beloved hosts, which is kind of exploring music and memory. And if what we just played was super highbrow and iconic, where we're going next is not necessarily lowbrow, but is certainly not of the same fine vintage or critical acclaim. And neither is the project that I most associate it with, because this next track, just to put things into a kind of a chronological order here, the first time I would have heard the record, the Edmund Fitzgerald, was like the late 1990s. I want to say around 1998, and it was a song, and it still is a song that I'm obsessed by. I just think it's this perfect masterpiece of songwriting and mood setting and tone, and there's a million fantastic attributes about that track. But the other biggest kind of early musical memory for me, at least in terms of like mainstream music, if I'm being honest, probably the other earliest musical memory for me is related to like wrestling theme songs. But that's, you know, I'm not going to subject you to that. But my other earliest musical memory was from the soundtrack. And I am blushing a little bit as I say this. The soundtrack of a movie I was obsessed with as a kid, which was Digimon the Movie. Once again, I was like six when it came out. Give me a break. But surprisingly outstanding soundtrack, full of a lot of really fun, high-energy tracks. But the one that really struck me was courtesy of Less Than Jake. This is All My Friends Are Metalheads. Yes, yes, a little bit of like ska pop right here, right now on CFRC.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. If you will constantly remind yourself that some of my generation judges people by their race, their belief, or the color of their skin, and that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
I've never met a dal I didn't like. If you are a fan of dal or lentil curry too, Listen to The Doll Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora, while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
Roll the dice on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with CFRC's Radio Roulette. Every week we get a new randomly generated playlist courtesy of the Online Digital Media Library. We let fate decide and the host must abide. So I hope you'll join me on this journey through genres, time, and taste each and every single Saturday at 11 p.m. Welcome back. You're tuned in to a very special, hopefully one time only, edition of 30 Years of Nonsense, featuring me, Jesse, who is 32 years old, but certainly has no shortage of nonsense in his system. Today, we are really embracing the theme of the show. We're talking about music, we're talking about memories, where we were, what we were doing, all that good stuff. We just heard from The Tragically Hip with In View, and why that made the cut today is quite simple. That was the first Tragically Hip song I really fell in love with. Now, I think retroactively, my favorite is either... I mean, this is going to be a very basic answer, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to give you some hidden gem, but it's like, I love Wheat Kings, I love 38 Years Old. I think 38 Years Old really appeals to my overall sensibilities from like a songwriting standpoint. I love songs with a historical basis, I love songs that focus on, you know, content that is left of the dial, so to speak. So those are, I think, probably my top two, but as a teenager, I think I was... just turning 13 when World Container, the album from which In View came from, was released. So that was the one that really kind of hit home with me. I remember the music video playing all the time on Much Music, the black and white. I thought it was great, and I still think it's great. I think it's a really fun, upbeat, wonderful track. One of my favorite hip releases outside of that, you know, golden era of the, really the 1990s writ large. Coming up next, we have got a track that, well, this track in particular doesn't necessarily embody my appreciation for history in songwriting. It comes off an album that does do that to a T, which is Sufjan Stevens' Illinois, which if you've not heard, released in the mid-2000s, just fantastic. I think it is one of my favorite albums ever. I did not come to it when it was first released. I discovered it years after the fact, but it's just like top to bottom, such a well-built album, and... I can say this retroactively, very clearly groundbreaking. And when you talk about Illinois, my goodness, how could you not talk about Chicago, both the city and the single? Because this to me, and I've said this, I'm on the record before, this to me is what music sounds like in your dreams. It's just lush, it's beautiful, it's complex, and you know what? It's something I discovered... Once again, embarrassing to say, this year, but when I finally got around to listening to this album, and this song in particular, it just transported me to a different world. And I want to do the same for you now. This is Sufjan Stevens with Chicago on CFRC 101.9 FM.
You came to take us. All things go, all things go. if I was crying in the van with my friend. It was for freedom from myself and from the land. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes.
You came to take us. All things go, all things go. To recreate us. All things grow, all things grow. We had a mindset. All things know, all things know. You had to find.
Once again, that was Sufjan Stevens with Chicago here on CFRC 101.9 FM. And if we're talking about music and memory, we've kind of thrown the chronology a little bit. We're jumping all over the place, but I am going to get things kind of back into a consistent time frame here. We're going to talk about kind of the late 2010s, which for me is like my mid to late 20s, so an interesting period to say the least. And the next artist I'm going to play for you, this track was released in 2019, and it was actually my introduction into this artist and the immense legacy they left behind. I started at the end and worked my way all the way back, and if you were listening to the Friday morning indie wake-up call throughout early 2026, maybe late 2025, you would have heard me go through this artist's discography in detail, because it is one of the most remarkable legacies an American songwriter can leave behind. But it's also deeply sad, because we lost a troubled and talented individual far sooner than we should. I'm going to play for you All My Happiness Is Gone off the titular Purple Mountains album, the final work released by David Berman. And I don't know, music enters your life sometimes when you need it most. And I think the music of David Berman, both in Purple Mountains and in Silver Jews, really came to me at a time when I needed a way to express the same kind of inner turmoil, pain, suffering, love for life, humor, everything that is wrapped up in any David Berman song. It came to me when I needed it most, and he left us far sooner than he should have. but my goodness, what a legacy he left behind. This is All My Happiness Is Gone on CFRC.
Strangers wherever I go. Some of them were once people I was happy to know. Mounting mileage on the dash, double darkness falling fast. I keep stressing, pressing on. Weighted down some substratum, feels like something really wrong has happened. I confess I'm barely hanging on. All my happiness is gone. All my happiness is gone. Life at first and goal to go. Me and you and us and them and all those people way back when. All our hardships were just yardsticks then, you know. You know. It's not the purple hills, it's not the silver lakes, it's not the snow cloud shadowed interstates, it's not the icy bike chain rain of Portland, Oregon. Nothing's wrong, no one's asking, but the fear's so strong it leaves you gasping. No way to last out here like this for long. Cause everywhere I go, I know. Everywhere I go, I know. All my happiness is gone. All my happiness is gone. It's all gone somewhere beyond. All my happiness is gone.
alright, chasing cocaine through the back rooms of the world all night. Wasting your days, chasing some girls, alright, chasing cocaine through the back rooms of the world all night. For America.
was Dan Behar, better known as Destroyer, with Kaput. And the significance of that song, once again staying firmly rooted in the mid to late 2010s, is, well, first off, my introduction to Destroyer, which I don't think is an uncommon experience. It is probably the best-known Destroyer track. But, I don't know, it also kind of opened my eyes, opened my mind to the more electronica-adjacent genres. Not to say that is pure electronica, but there's obviously, you know, elements of it contained within the song, and I think it really helped expand my musical horizons. And, sorry, I'm struggling to figure out how I want to say this next part. But the next artist we're going to play for you is one that I'm sure listeners to the show are familiar with, because it's one of the most successful bands of the 1970s, 80s, one of the most respected and critically lauded groups of that time frame. It's the Talking Heads. More specifically, I think I've developed this spiritual connection with David Byrne, which he would appreciate. I think he would appreciate somebody declaring it to be a spiritual connection. I think he would probably assume there was some component of ESP attached to it. But as I've gotten older and as I've started to learn more about myself and, you know, work on myself and discover things about my past that have helped recontextualize a lot of it. Look, folks, I'm just talking about being on the spectrum. I'll just come out and say it. And, David Byrne, to me, is kind of the greatest example of it, because when you see him in concert, and you can tell he is feeling the music, and he's kind of just juddering his body around the stage with these kind of rigid, sort of on-tempo, sort of off-tempo dance moves. I'm not going to lie to you, I do the exact same thing, and I remember there was an interview where somebody asked him, like, oh, you know, how does it feel to you to be an inspiration for people on the autism spectrum? And he seemed utterly perplexed that people on the spectrum would relate to him, and I always thought that was so funny, because to me, he is the most on-the-spectrum music artist of all time. But he's also one of the most unique and exciting and dynamic musicians of all time, and this is the perfect love song. This must be the place, Naive Melody, here and now on CFRC. Thank you. Welcome back. That was Jessica Wallowicz with Favor here on a very special, probably one-time-only edition of 30 Years of Nonsense. Jesse filling in for Sherry and Terry, who are out of the province. I believe they are, by this time, in Saskatchewan, awaiting the arrival of a grandchild, which is always a lovely occasion. So I wanted to mix things up a little bit, give you something a bit more contemporaneous on this here Thursday evening show. And of course, stay tuned, we've got a new edition of Kingston Currents coming up at 5 p.m. You don't want to miss that. And folks, if we're ending things out, I figure there's only one band we can end off on because, well, if you know anything about myself, my musical sensibilities, the programs that I've hosted on the air here with CFRC, you know that I have a deep respect, a love, an admiration for Athens, Georgia's own REM. Sometimes a bit of a complicated relationship, as we've covered their later discography and, you know, the puzzling decisions that were made going into it. But it is a band that I've spent so much of my life listening to, a band that I really do love, and I think a band with a number of very distinct aspects and arcs in their careers. And I am of the belief that their late 90s stuff is really some of their finest work, but it is very difficult to dispute just how good their work in the late 1980s was in particular. I'm talking like 86 onwards. And my final track for you today comes from that mid to late 80s period, and I think it is maybe one of the most unique tracks in their discography. I think it's one of the most southern tracks in their discography. And I guess my belief with this band is I think REM is at their best when they are, you know, touching upon their southern roots, because it is a band born out of a college town in Georgia. And much as how, you know, I find bands that write about, you know, historical moments or specific areas, periods of time, very interesting, REM, not so much their bag traditionally, but I just think writing songs based around, you know, being in the South in the 1980s is really fascinating to me. And in their biggest hit, Losing My Religion, that title is, you know, a Southern expression. Oh, I'm losing my religion with you. And to me, this next track, called I Believe, also has that kind of loving nod to their Southern heritage, where, you know, the lyric, spirited a rattlesnake, which, I don't know, has also kind of maybe always resonated with me and stayed with me all these years later. So this is a roundabout way, a belabored effort for me to get to the point. We've got REM to close things off. The track is called I Believe, and in addition to just being a really fun, high-energy track, I don't know, I think it's maybe underpinned a lot of the more optimistic or hopeful aspects of who I am, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. So here we go. Banjo players, this one's for you. This is I Believe from REM to close out the show today on CFRC 101.9 FM, very special edition of 30 Years of Nonsense. Might be 30 years before you hear me on this program again, but thanks for stopping by.
Fever fell, my spirit, I will not tell you on your honor. is me to perfect. Perfect is a fault. Fault lines change.
FM for our Airwave YGK concert happening September 20th from 1 till 4 p.m. at the Broom Factory. Catch amazing local rockers Squid Pistol, The Winter in Canada, and headliners Lumpfish at this high-energy, all-ages concert. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door, and you can get your advance tickets now at cfrc.ca. See you there, punks.
Your future starts now. Explore future career and educational opportunities at the Thursday, September 24th Career and Further Education Fair. Drop by the main gym of the Athletics and Recreation Center anytime between 10:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Meet in person with employers and representatives from graduate and professional education programs. While you're there, get a free professional headshot at the LinkedIn photo booth. This event is open to all FIN students of all years.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
It's 5 p.m. on a Thursday night here in the city of Kingston, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9.